This is Pastor Joshua Swilly, and you're listening to the Hope United podcast. We pray that this message is a blessing to you. I want to welcome my guest for tonight, Miss Jessica Predville. So happy to have you here, Jessica. All right. God is good. God is good. Check and make sure your mic is on. We want to make sure it can hear
you. It's on.
All right. Amen. Let me just pray and bless the word. God, I thank you, Lord, that you would just let us hear what we need to hear tonight, God, from your word. Let it be a blessing to us. Let it catapult us into our future. Cause us to be more successful. Cause us to develop the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you. Thank you for joining us tonight. Welcome, family. I see so much of our family. I put my laptop out here so I can see your names. Amen. I see you, Cher. I see you, Marielle. I see you, Kendi. All right. I see you, Sister Elda. I see you, Francesca, Maxine, Sister Sandy. I see you. All right. Amen. Amen. We're going to be looking at Mark 10, 46 through 52. And we're going to talk a little bit, get into the word a little bit, and we'll have a little bit of question and answer at the end. So get your questions ready right now. And even as we go through, if you got a good question, you can just let it rip during the question and answer period. But I want to start off in Mark 10, 46 through 52. And it says, "Then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' 'Be quiet,' many of the people yelled at him, but he only shouted louder, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' And when Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, 'Tell him to come here.' So they called the blind man. 'Cheer up,' they said. 'Come on, he's calling you.' Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. 'What do you want me to do for you?' Jesus asked. 'My rabbi,' the blind man said, 'I want to see.' And Jesus said to him, 'Go, for your faith has healed you.' Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road." Amen. We live in a miraculous time. And I want to tell you, this stuff isn't just 2,000 years ago. God is doing something powerful and wants to do some powerful things in your life. So I pray that this word and what we're about to share unlocks miracles in your life. The first thing that we see here is they pass by the town of Jericho, which we know that Jericho was the first battle that was faced as the children of Israel were trying to get into their promised land. Can I tell you, you're not going to get to your promised land without a battle. You're not going to get to your promise without a battle. You're not going to get to your miracle without a battle. There's a battle somewhere in there, but it's all right. The weapon may form, but it's not going to prosper. And so this is exciting, but it's important to know this because some people think, this miracle is just going to drop into their lap without some prayer, without some faith work, without some something. There's going to be some elbow grease somewhere in the faith department to get there. So anyways, there's a battle.
Yes. And the thing that I like about it is I forgot this morning I was praying and the Lord was saying position.
Yeah.
And I was like, position? And it's like, yes, are you in position? Are you in position for what God wants to do in your life? Do you want it? And let's just tie it into right now. Let's make it relevant right now with the quarantine. Mm-hmm. I find it a blessing. God is saying, if this would not have happened, would you have had the time to get in position for what I want to do in your life? And blind Bartimaeus was like, I'm not going to let this happen. My rabbi passed me by and I don't get healed. He wanted it.
This is so incredible. And there are people all along our path that need what you got inside of you. And this is why we need to get the focus off of us. Yeah. We live in a nation that oftentimes we turn internal and we get selfish. We get focused on me, me, me. But it's important to know there's some blind Bartimaeuses around you. There's some people. It says he was a blind beggar. That means he had some economic issues. He was in lack. And he had some physical disabilities.
Yeah.
So physical and economic. And this is what we've been talking about all year.
Yeah.
God wants to bless his people. God wants to help people get out of economic problems. Mm-hmm. And he wants to help you get out of physical problems.
Amen.
God is still the God that is a healer and he's a blesser.
Yes, he
wants to bless you financially and he wants to touch you. He wants to heal you. And so he was a blind beggar. He was both sick and he was in lack, and he's sitting on the side of the road. Notice he's not on the road to his purpose. He's not on the road to his destiny. He's been sidelined by life. He's been sidelined by circumstances.
Right.
He's been sidelined. Maybe he put himself on the sideline. Whatever reason, he's on the sideline. There are people in our life today that God has put the solution in your heart, in your mouth,
Amen.
That for whatever reason, they're on the sideline.
Yeah.
But God wants to get them back on the path that they need to progress and to reach their miracle.
Amen. And I also looked up his name, and his name was Son of the Unclean.
Wow.
So not only before he was even a blind beggar, the Bible doesn't say like how long he's been blind and how long he's been begging.
Yeah.
But he was named Son of the Unclean. So from birth, what they spoke over him ultimately allowed him to walk down this unfortunate path. But he didn't allow the labels of life or what they said his name was to stop him from noticing that there's a healer in the room, that there's a rabbi in the room. How can you encounter Jesus and stay the same? It's impossible. And like you said, there's people who have been sidelined. This faith is not just for us, Pastor Joshua. This faith is for us to share. It's for us to touch. It's for us to go out and tell people, hey, there's a God that wants to heal you. There's a God that says that you have a life. You have a purpose. And his plans for you are good. And his thoughts for you are good and an expected end. Jeremiah 29:11. So it's not always, okay, what can God do for me? You preach this. Mm-hmm. I want to be blessed to be a blessing.
Yeah.
So I'm going to use this time to get filled up on this word, because soon as this restriction is lifted, he's releasing me into these streets. And let me tell you something, the harvest is ready.
Amen.
The harvest is ready.
It's so critical, both in this season and next, to see who is it that's in your path. Because God allows people to be in our path for a reason, that are in lack, that have something physically going on, that have something else, that they need a miracle. And we need to help people. You know, where would the body of Christ be if more of us were helping people get off the sidelines, whether they were in the body of Christ, if they're saved or unsaved? Let me tell you, what a testimony to help somebody that's not even saved to get off the sidelines and get back on the road to success, get back on the road to their destiny, become more spiritually aware. That is a blessing. And so what happens, he's sitting on the side of the road, but when he hears, I love this, when he hears that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he begins to shout.
Yeah.
This part reminds me of a Pentecostal service. He shouts out. Now, he doesn't shout out something religious. He says, Jesus!
Yeah.
And it's important that when God starts to work on you, you know, begin to make a declaration.
Yes.
I love this. I love this. I love this. Sometimes you got to speak something that's somewhere where you can't go yet. You need to declare something that is where you want to go, but you're not physically able to get there yet.
Yes.
So I'm going to go ahead and send my word ahead of
Amen.
Me. I'm going to prophesy to my future. I'm going to begin to declare some things because I can't get over there right now, but I can shout. I can send my word over there and begin to speak a word of faith to say, Jesus, I know I need to be over there. I know I'm not over there. Right now I'm in a rut here, but Jesus, I'm speaking some things by faith, and he begins to shout, but there's some other people that don't get it. There's some other people that say, shh, 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 shh. Now's not the right time. Be quiet. Be quiet. You need to stop all that racket. You need it. This is not the right time. It's not the right season. They might even make it sound religious.
Right.
But listen, when God is stirring something on the inside, stirring hope inside of you, don't shut up.
No.
Don't be quiet.
Mm-mm.
Do like blind Bartimaeus. He started shouting, and it said he shouted even louder
Amen.
When people told him to be quiet.
And it's, you always get something from the hush gallery,
okay.
Right? It's like, oh, you know, don't allow the enemy to silence you and to steal your voice. And you know what, Pastor Joshua? A lot of times people are well in, like, have good intentions. Like, they're telling you, like, oh, maybe not now, because faith is scary.
Mm-hmm.
When you start talking about some things, especially when your circumstances says something different and it looks impossible, the Bible says, you know, humanly speaking, it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. Certain people, depending on where they are with their faith, they'll start to kind of like quiet you down and tell you to just keep it down. And that's why it's important that we know the voice of the Lord and we don't allow people to supersede who God is in our lives and what God said. The word, you mentioned it, declaring it. The word says, declare a thing and it shall be established. And he declared it. He said, Jesus, and guess what? My rabbi, who is God to you?
Yeah, you
make it
know.
Personal. Make this healing personal. He's not some God that's out there. He is your God. He is your Jesus. You know, the healing belongs to you. What are you declaring out of your mouth? What is it that you want? He asked him, what do you want me to do?
I love this. And so there's going to be, not everybody's going to be excited about what God is doing in your life, but you have to know that you know that you know that there is something stirring in the spirit. And when you begin to open your mouth and speak by faith to your circumstances, know that things are going to change. And then I love this. He begins to shout all the louder and Jesus hears him. Let me tell you something. Jesus always hears faith. He always hears faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And whenever you move and speak by faith, God is always hearing. He's always listening to our faith.
Yes.
And so that one of the biggest things, if you want to get closer to your miracle, start speaking by faith. Don't start speaking by the natural. Don't start speaking the rationalization or the reasons why it might not. If you know that's something that God put in your heart, keep on speaking by faith. And so he gets Jesus' attention because he's speaking by faith. And then Jesus says to him, he says, tell him to come over here. And I love this part is that some of the same people that were telling him, shh, shut up. Don't make a lot of racket. Don't make any noise. You're going to bother the Jesus. These are the same people. Come on.
The same people.
Come on. Jesus is ready for you. Come over here. And so sometimes what we see is when God begins to move, there's a domino effect. And things start happening in your favor. When God starts to move, the things that you knew a long time ago begin to materialize. And now all of a sudden, you have favor with some people that said no before. Now they're saying yes, and you're seeing the favor of God being released. So just hold on. If God puts something in your spirit, don't give up. Don't give up. Because once God begins to move and begins to manifest that thing, people change.
You have to make a believer out of people because a lot of times, even in my life, I can personally say there are some really crazy things that I started declaring and saying, and like people in my family would be like, you know, okay, Jessica, like, okay. And then when it happens, guess what?
Yeah.
They're sharing the testimony for me. They're calling people up saying, can you believe it? We have to allow God to use our lives for his glory, because when you speak by faith and then you look crazy, I bet you Noah looked crazy.
Mm-hmm.
They probably didn't even know what rain was. And he was building something they had never heard of before.
Absolutely.
And he kept doing it. How crazy did he look then when he was on that ark and everything and all that rain started, right? Your faith will make you look crazy to certain people. And once you start declaring by faith, yes, the enemy will try to silence you. He'll try to make you rationalize and speak logically and start to go by what you see, you know, and not by, he says, we have to walk by faith and not by sight. God said it, that settles it. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to keep saying it sometimes for my own faith, Pastor Joshua. Faith comes by hearing. So
absolutely.
I have to declare that thing so it could keep going in my ears to believe and not forget what the Lord said.
Yeah. And this is so incredible. It says that Bartimaeus, when Jesus calls him and everybody's coming over, telling him, come. Bartimaeus, it says he throws aside his coat and he jumps up. Can I tell you, your miracle will require some action. It's not something that you can just sit back and say, oh, I've got a couple prophetic words and this is going to, no. You need to get on your knees and pray.
Yes.
You need to have steps of obedience and steps of faith to get there, because it's faith with works. You know, faith without works is dead. So we got to put some work with the faith. And so Bartimaeus, we see him spring to action when Jesus speaks. It says he jumps up. Now, what type of faith do you have to have as a blind person to jump up? Yes. He didn't stand up. He jumped up. So this is it's a bold step. Yes. And then I love this. It says he doesn't lay down his coat. He throws aside his coat. Let me tell you something. You need to let go of that old garment, that old way of thinking, that old thought process, those old methods that used to work for you. Maybe some of them were good. Maybe God used them in the past, but it's now old and you need to discard that.
Yes.
And what I love about the story of Bartimaeus is he doesn't just lay it down. He throws. There's action with there's yes. It's forceful. It's passionate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm jumping up, I'm throwing aside the old garment, and I'm running towards God. And so I love this as he approaches, Jesus asks him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And immediately I thought about the story of Solomon when he's dedicating the temple and he's got all these sacrifices that he did and it was pleasing to God, and God comes to him in the dream in the night and he says, "What do you want from me?" You know, there's some moments that are so special between you and God, and it's like it doesn't necessarily happen all the time, but God will say, "What do you want from me?" Jesus asked Bartimaeus, "What do you want from me?" When that moment comes, when Jesus says, "What do you want from me?" you better be ready to give a faith answer. You better be ready to give a faith request from God. And Bartimaeus asks for his sight. I think this is so important for us as believers to be ready to respond in that moment when God is asking us, "What do you want from me? I've seen your hard work. I've seen how you've been serving. I've seen your obedience. What is it that you want from me? I've seen your faith. What is it that you want from me?" And I think we have to be ready for that.
You know what it is, Pastor Joshua, you mentioned that you have to be ready to set down that old mindset, that old way of thinking. And if you look at the man who was blind and lame at the pool of Bethesda, he was there for a while. The Bible says 38 years.
Mm.
And Jesus asked him, he didn't say, "What do you want from me?" He says, do you want to be healed?
Yeah.
And you would think after 38 years
he'd
of waiting
right
around,
response.
Right?
Yeah.
You had enough time to think about what you wanted. No, but he answered God with complaint, with saying, "Well, no one did this, and that's not what I asked you."
So
that's the difference. Where are you positioned? Some people want something so bad, but when God says, "Well, what do you want?"
Mm-hmm.
What is that answer that you're, how are you going to respond to God? And with Bartimaeus, he said, "I want to see."
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say, "Maybe if you could heal me." He said, "I want to see." That's faith, to know that if I ask you for sight, I will get sight.
Amen. 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 I love that. And then he just concludes it. He said, "I want to see." And Jesus says, "Go, your faith has healed you." And I just want to touch on this again. There is obedience. There is action that is required for the miracle. You know, so many miracles that God wants to do in our lives that don't take place because we think that it's faith when we just stand still. The Bible says, after doing all, stand still. Don't just stand still and you done anything.
Right.
That's the problem oftentimes. We're standing still and we haven't done anything.
Right.
The Bible says, after doing all, stand. So make sure in the process of getting towards your miracle and getting to your miracle, if there's something that God has asked of you, even go back and retrace your steps and ask, "Was I obedient in all the things that God gave me to do?" Sometimes God will bring something back to you and say, "Hey, remember that thing that I asked you?" A lot of times when we're dealing with God, it's like this. He tells us to do something, and then we go off and we forget to do that. And then we come back and we have a conversation, and it's like he picks up the conversation right where he left off. So about that thing that I was talking to you about.
Yeah.
And if you hadn't prayed in 4 years, he's like, "And about that thing that we were talking about 4 years ago."
Right.
So it's important to get to the miracle. We need to have obedient action. Obedient action.
Yes, I love obedient
Amen.
Action.
And so we're about to take some questions and answers. So if you got questions, it can pertain to this or it can pertain to something else. But we just want to open up the Word of God and just have a little open discussion tonight about some of these things. I'm so excited about that. I'm so excited about the miracles that God yes. wants to do.
And if you can, because we're interactive, I want you to type in, I'm in position. Let's go ahead and declare it. Let's declare that I'm in position. Father, I'm in position. I'm in position to hear your voice. I'm in position for that healing. I'm in position to help those in my family who have not yet received salvation. God, I'm ready and I'm in position. Amen. I just love reading about faith.
Yeah.
And the faith of the people in the Bible, you have no reason not to stir yourself up in the Word.
Amen. Amen. All right, let's see what we got here. Obedience and action.
Yep.
I am in position. All right, I
see
you there.
Yeah.
Iris, David, Tiff, Ms. D, all right. All right. See you there, Pastor Corinne. Brittany. Amen.
Well, Pastor Joshua, let me ask you this.
All right.
You said you gave a few tips on how we can get to the point and God, you know, will pick up where he left off. How do you believe someone can get into position?
Well, I believe it's really about obedience. And sometimes there is a revelation that's missing.
Yeah.
So you have obedience in all the areas that you know how to be obedient in, and it seems like you've just been waiting, but God knows exactly your process and your journey, so that's important to have patience also in the journey, because sometimes you're not necessarily doing anything wrong. You've been obedient in all the areas you know how to be obedient in so far, but there's a couple of clicks left. My dad would always say there's a couple of clicks left. And so that means sometimes there's a revelation that you don't know yet. There's a word that God hasn't given you. There's a puzzle piece that's missing still. So I just encourage everybody in that to remain faithful. Just stay faithful in what God has given you, even when you don't see everything materialize. One of the greatest things that I'm loving, one of the fruits of the Spirit that I'm just like, I'm dining on this all the time because it's beautiful, and that's just faithfulness. You know, when we are faithful, we see incredible fruit, and it's not that fast food result that oftentimes as American Christians that we're looking for, but faithfulness brings about a powerful harvest. And really, when we begin to understand the way that God moves, not just financially, it is sowing and reaping. We sow things in one season, and we're reaping things in a different season. So sometimes if we're not keeping track of what we sowed, we're not understanding where exactly the harvest is coming from. But we have to have that fruit of patience. Oh my goodness. Patience and faithfulness. Faithfulness and patience. You know, I was on the phone with some of the men this morning, and we were just talking about that. We're talking about, man, you can't always think that the results are going to be immediately, instantly. You go to the gym and you work out, and there's some delayed gratification that happens.
Paul said, patient endurance.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Marielle has a question.
All right.
She said, how would you encourage someone that has been standing still?
How would you encourage someone that's standing still? I would just encourage them. This is how I break the scripture down. Having done all, stand. So what I'm going to do is I have enough trust in a loving Heavenly Father that if I'm missing something, if I am missing a puzzle piece, I am going to continue to pray. I'm going to continue to stay connected with God, because He's going to let me know if there's something missing in the equation for my miracle, if there's something missing in the ingredients for my miracle to happen. So, you know, what I recommend is when you are in, you're in it for the long haul, and you seem like you've been in this season of waiting. What I encourage you is set yourself up on a routine of prayer. You know, say, I'm going to pray every week about this, you know, and or I'm going to pray every day about it. You know, we went through a situation where we were believing for our CO, and we were praying for our CO, and it was 3 years of a fight to get our CO for our certificate of occupancy for the church so that we could legally be in the building. And so for 3 years we fought, and 3 years we made calls, and 3 years we made changes to the building, and 3 years we did paperwork, and 3 years we went back and forth with the different contractors that we had and with the permitting. And what I realized was this: if the way to bring about your miracle is faith and trust, faith and trust. So what I would do is I'd get up in the morning and I'd hit it hard with faith and prayer. And then I'd rest in God. I'd rest in God the rest of the day. Because listen, there's no amount of stress, of striving in my own ability that's going to bring about the miracle, that's going to bring about the result. So what I found was a strategy, because listen, in the spirit, in the long haul, what you got to know how to do. You got to know how to fight and rest. You got to know how to fight. So I get up in the morning, first thing, bam, I knock the devil in the face, bam. And then I'd rest in God, because I want to demonstrate in my life that I have fervent faith, but I also know how to rest. And so that's how you win when you're having a miracle that you're waiting for a longer season.
That's awesome. I just envisioned you giving the devil two black eyes. And as he's icing up his eye, you're like resting
you're
in the
resting.
Lord. Amen.
You're resting up for tomorrow. Tomorrow.
You want
I'll
some
give you
more
right
of this?
Back there.
Miss Maxine said, so directly asking can strengthen our self-esteem even if the answer isn't yes.
Read it again.
She said, so directly asking can strengthen our self-esteem even if the answer isn't yes. You're not going to always hear what you think you're going
to
hear.
Absolutely. Sometimes the best answer to your prayer is no. Yeah. But I think just like building a relationship with anybody else, mm-hmm. you know, the Bible says, my sheep know my voice. Mm-hmm. And so as we're developing that relationship, because we're all developing our relationship with God, you know, we all should be developing it even to a higher place. You know, whenever you think you've arrived in God, that's a trouble spot. Get away from there. But the more that we listen to his voice, we pray, we ask for something. But sometimes God will correct our prayers and say, don't pray for this, pray for that. Sometimes God will say, add this onto your prayer list. Or, you know what? You don't need to pray for that anymore. You know, I've had seasons where God took stuff off my prayer list. I've had seasons where God added other stuff onto my prayer list. And so absolutely, it will build confidence in you as you grow. Even if the answer is no, you develop your relationship with God where you begin to know the nuances of when he's going to say yes and when he's going to say no. And the more that we read the Word of God, it gives us clues to his character.
Yes.
It reveals his character, what type of prayers that he's going to answer
yes.
and what type of prayers that he's not going to answer. There's some prayers, there's no way in the world he's going to answer that prayer. And there's other prayers, he's absolutely going to answer that prayer, because that's directly in line with his word and his will. And so, absolutely.
Tiffany asked a really great question, but before we jump into Tiffany's question, mm-hmm. I wanted to piggyback on what you said. Getting to know God more in an intimate relationship with God, your prayers become less of you talking. And let's just be honest. You know, we go through seasons where we try to manipulate God with the word. Well, you said, and you know that's, stop trying to manipulate. You can't manipulate God. Let's just put that out there. And it's like, it's more like, God, where do you want me to be? What do you want me to pray for? What should I, you know, it's more letting him direct your prayers and what you should be praying for instead of you praying for what you think you should be praying for. I believe that now we're partnering with God on this earth mm-hmm. because we're his hands and feet on this earth. We're here to bring him glory, yeah. to witness about him. And so everything we do in our lives, everything is to bring glory back to God.
Yeah.
So when you start getting in that selfish path where it's like, me, God, you can do this for me, God. It's like, how can I serve you? What can I do for you? And man, that just tugs on the father's heart. Imagine, you know, you're a dad. You know, if Esperanza or Christian says, Dad, how can I help you? Yeah. Today you're like, oh my gosh, what do you want? I'll give you anything, because it's like their heart is in the right place. Mm-hmm. So we have to make sure that our hearts are in the right place. But Tiffany asks, what do you do when you feel like your purpose is delayed?
That's such a good question. Thank you for that question, Tiffany. I think that we have to understand a couple things about God's character. And this is a very normal feeling for a Christian. It's a very normal feeling for a Christian. Whatever it may be, there are moments in all of our lives when we felt our purpose has been delayed, our miracle has been delayed. What in the world do you do when you get there? Besides what I said a minute ago about fighting and resting, because you have to do that. And if you're going to do something for the long haul, and it's not like, hey, I'm praying, I'm fasting for a week. If you don't know like how long the fight is going to be, you better pace yourself. You know, you better pace yourself. So that's why I said, get up in the morning, knock the devil out, the hardest prayer that you can do, and rest. Now, what do you do when you're feeling like your purpose is delayed? It's important that we understand this about God. God is a loving, heavenly Father. If you are with all of your heart seeking after Him, He's not going to let you miss it. When you settle in your mind that I can trust God, trust in the Lord with all my heart, lean not into my own understanding, in all my ways acknowledge Him, and He will make my path straight. This is such a critical revelation for us as Christians. If I'm doing my best to pursue God, guess what? There's no way that I can miss it. There's no way that I can miss Him. And we, I think a lot of times we think that it's easier than possible to miss a nuance here or miss a nuance there and blow up our purpose, blow up our destiny. Oh man, I messed this up. No, if you are in the pursuit of God and you're pressing towards Him, God's not going to let you miss it. And what we think is a delay oftentimes is just preparation. Yeah. You know what? It had been a lot easier. And I don't know why God, you know, some things we get to heaven and we ask God, but I don't know why God didn't just straight up tell Joseph. He said, this is going to be a 14-year school, and then you're going to be elevated to the number two position in the world. You know, maybe if God would have told him that, it would have been easier. But I think there was some character that was developed in him that would not have been developed if he would have known, I'm just going to, you know, a university level. I'm going for my PhD, and then I get, you know, if he would have just been able to know, you know, well, prison and being a slave, this is just like a PhD level class.
Of rape. He was
accused of rape. This is just a PhD level class, and then I'm gonna graduate and be the really powerful position and blessed, and I'm gonna be the hero. But God doesn't work that way, because it develops character when we have to have patience and we have to have actually faith and trust that God is going to do it without knowing exactly how it's going to play out. So I think my answer to that really is we just have to trust that God is actually, if we're obedient to Him and we're chasing after Him, guess what? He's not going to let us miss it. And so what looks like delay is oftentimes just preparation. But beyond that, in your prayers in the morning, just pray against delay. Just give the devil a black eye. There's been seasons in my life I just gave the devil a black eye. I gave the spirit of delay a black eye. I heard a sermon on the spirit of delay, and I just started binding up the spirit of delay over my life. And so I think those are key strategies.
It wasn't until prayer on Thursdays that I heard you pray one time. You were like, we come against the spirit of delay. And I'm like, that's a thing? And I started like, no. You will not delay what God has for me. You will not. And I started like prophesying over my life and declaring that thing. And let's go back to Joseph really quickly. Yeah. Joseph, like, he was already talking about the dreams he was having in the coat, in the colors and everything. What happens is God, for our own sake, will have us tilling and preparing us and readying us. And we have to allow God to do that work in us. So when we get to where he's taking us, we don't blow it. Yeah. And we don't mess it up with pride or with, you know, just thinking that we got here on our own account and stuff like that. You have to go through very humble seasons. And God has to, he says he searches our hearts to see our motives, mm-hmm. right? And yeah. so a lot of times when we think that it's the enemy, you know, remember that, you know, look at Paul, look at the apostles. You go through things. And then when you look back, I look back, Pastor Joshua, I go back in my journal and I'm like looking back in hindsight. Lord, if you had not brought me through this, where would I have had the faith to receive what you're trying to give me now?
Yeah.
Because I believe that I go from glory to glory, faith to faith. Mm. And so had I not gone through those seasons where the pressing, where would I have the oil? Where would the oil come from?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
you have to allow the Lord and trust that his plans for you are good, to prosper you, not to harm you. And Matthew 6:33, if we just seek God's kingdom,
yeah.
all of that will be added to us. So I don't allow the enemy to say, hey, you missed out, you blew it. There's mm-hmm. no condemnation for even if I did make a mistake.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to repent and God is going to bring me that conviction to repentance that brings life. And then I'll keep on going because he's such a loving father. He's yeah. just such a loving father.
Yeah. If we really think of God as a loving father would not let you miss your destiny. If he knew that, you know, there was this house that was available for you and this car that was available and this spouse that was available for you and this dream job that was available to you. That loving father, just earthly father, that loving earthly father would do everything within their ability to make sure that you hit the mark so that you could be able to walk into that. And so the only reason that a loving father would withhold something like that is if that was going to cause you to spiral into something that was really unhealthy or bad. So we have to think in terms of God loves us so much that that if we're chasing after him, God's going to work these things out. Miss Denise asks, speaking about purpose, how do you clearly know what it is? Wow. What a great question. What a great question. I think that the Holy Spirit reveals in bits and pieces. He reveals in fragments oftentimes. A prophecy here, a word that is spoken from the pulpit that really bears witness, a song, a spiritual song, a worship song, and something that really stands out. And maybe something that he speaks to you in your prayer time. And we begin to weave these things together and begin to get a picture, a snapshot of what it is that God wants to do in our lives. What does God have us on this earth to do? Because it's not just to breathe and to live 80 to 120 years and get married. Getting married is awesome. It's amazing. And having kids is awesome and amazing. But there's actually something even beyond that,
yes.
that is the purposes that God has upon the earth. It's something that is weighty and that's of magnitude. And so we begin to weave those things. And yes, our spouse and our kids and our job and all those things are a part of it. But there's this bird's eye view that God wants us to see. So how do we get to it? This is how I do it. I catalog the prophetic words that I get. I don't let one word fall to the ground. I try to write everything down, all the prophecies down, and I try to write in my journal all the words that I hear in sermons and otherwise in Bible studies that I'm like, man, that word's for me. Yeah. And I write those things down, and I write down the things that God shows me in my prayer time. And I begin to weave those things together, and I rehearse those things until I begin, till one prophetic word begins to kind of merge into another prophetic word, and I start seeing, wait, if I take this over here, and take this over here, and take this over here, and I put this together, it starts to form a full picture. And something that my dad used to always teach is the closer that you get, the clearer it becomes.
Yes.
So if you begin to move towards your destiny, it will become more clear to you. When Abraham first started out, he had a very vague idea of where he was supposed to go. God said, go to the place I will show you. That is about as vague as it gets directionally. You know, GPS, God, where do I find that on the map? Go to a place I will show you. That basically means get your cloak on, get your clothes, get your family, pack them up, pack your cattle, get rolling, get on the road, and I'm going to give you the directions as you are walking. So really, for most of us, that's how it works. But really pay attention to the dreams God gives you. You know, God started giving me dreams like really young, and I started taking those things to heart. Now, I was a teenager. I misinterpreted some of the dreams at first. But the thing is, at the more that we pray and the more we kind of reshuffle the puzzle pieces around, we begin to see a snapshot of where God's taken us.
And Pastor Joshua, I just want to remind you, in the beginning of the year, when the sermon on New Year, if you have time, please try to check it out on the podcast.
That's so good, yes.
You were saying that that sometimes when God gives you something, it's so big that it's kind of intimidating. And it's like, well, I don't know. And you were like, well, if it doesn't scare you, if it doesn't require faith, then it's probably not God. Mm-hmm. When God tells you what you're here to do and your purpose, it just seems so much bigger than you, because it is. Yeah. And it requires him. You can't do it on your own.
Yeah.
And it requires him to get you there. But you have to. Abraham had to take the action. He had to just start moving. And God led him down where he needed to end up.
And I'm not going to go too deep into this, because this is another online curriculum that I'm gonna start. I'm really excited about this. I taught this a few years ago. But look at your gifts. Look at your gifts, the gifts that God gave you.
Yes.
If you look at your gifts and you compare that with your prophecies, compare that with your dreams, you know, your gifts will actually begin to show you kind of, you can begin to gather some clarity on what God wants you to do. Now, of course, you can use a gift in a variety of ways, but that begins to narrow down some of the things that you say, well, definitely it's not this because God didn't give me that gift. You know, definitely it's not that over there because God didn't give me that gift, but he gave me this gift and this gift and this gift. When I put these three gifts together, what type of arrangements could I see future outcomes happen with these gift sets? So I want to encourage that. And then what you said with the beginning of the new year, this is so important. When you're a part of a faith community, there are clues embedded within the vision of the house.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
My God. There are clues embedded to your personal purpose and vision embedded within the vision of the house. So go back and review the vision of the house. Go back and review the vision at the beginning of the year. Like Jessica was saying, great word. Because it's going to somehow correlate with what God has called you to do. Amen. Well, we'll pick this right back up next week, because this is so good. Thank you, everyone, for your questions.
Yay.
I want to tell you, if you'd like to give tonight, you can text to give 77977, or you can give via the website hopeunited.church. I want to encourage you. Sunday's going to be awesome. Share. Invite a friend, you know, and you don't have to go and physically go with the mask and all, no, but just go to them, just inbox them, message them, you know, invite them,
to
Sunday, because I believe there are some people that, like blind Bartimaeus, they've been sitting on the side of the road, and maybe that message from you, maybe that DM from you is going to get them off the road and get them back onto the road to their destiny. So I want to encourage you, invite somebody out Sunday. Thursday night, Thursday is National Day of Prayer.
I love it.
And so I'm expecting Thursday night to be a powerful prayer. Please join us on the Zoom prayer. If you want to know what all's going on in the church, just get the app.
Yes.
Just go on and get the app. You know you should have gone and got it already.
I know, right?
It's in the App Store. It's in the Google Play Store. Just look for Hope United Church. You're going to find us. Get that. download it, get it on your phone. You'll get the notifications when the services are starting, and you can flip through it. And the great thing is the links are embedded in it. If you got the app, you just pull it up, you click it, you flip it, whatever. It takes you right into the Zoom prayer. You click it, it takes you right to the service, and it makes it so much easier. And you can give through there. It's great. So let me bless your giving if you're giving tonight. Lord, I thank you, God, for each and every person that's here tonight. God, you're looking for opportunities to bless us. You are looking for opportunities to cause miracles to happen in our lives. God, I thank you for those that are looking for economic miracles in their life. And those, God, Lord, that they're believing, God, maybe they've lost a little bit during this time, or it looks like they've lost something. Maybe they've been furloughed, or maybe they have, God, missed some paychecks during this time, or maybe their business, God, has taken a couple of hits, Father, during this time. Lord, I pray, God, that you bless them, Father. I pray that you'd cause miracles to happen in their life, God. Lord, and I thank you, Lord, for all those that are sowing, God, that you would use this seed, God, to cause a mighty harvest to come back into their life. God, I thank you that we don't have to operate by the natural. We can operate, Father, through your spiritual economy, God, by sowing and reaping, God. And so we sow a seed in faith, God. And Lord, I pray that there would be 30, 60, 100-fold return on every seed that's sown tonight, God. Lord, I know that there's people that have needs tonight. I pray, God, Lord, that you use this opportunity of seed sowing to bring a harvest and to bring abundance into their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. God bless you. We love you. At Hope United, we are
one family in faith.
Have a great night.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Please consider planting a seed in this ministry. Any seed helps us get the gospel message out to those that would otherwise not hear it. If you want to give, please click the link below in the episode notes. If you're in the area, come visit us in Pembroke Pines, Florida. May God bless you, and may you possess the promise God has for you.